You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A new film called The United Kingdom tells an incredible story, and it's all the more powerful when you realize that it actually happened. How many love stories, after all, have played a role in changing the course of African history? It stars David Oyelowo as Seretse Khama of Botswana and Rosamund Pike as Ruth Williams, the white woman who caused an international crisis when they decided to marry in the 1940s. The film opens here in New York tomorrow, and I'm delighted to welcome David Oyelowo back to our show, along with director Ama Asante. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How did you first learn about this real-life story behind the film? Is this something that's been written about a lot?
Well, for me, this first came my way in 2010. While I was doing a film in Atlanta, a producer on that film had the rights to a book called Calabar that was written by Susan Williams and handed it to me, wondering if I had any interest in maybe playing the role.
This is a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. But I didn't know about the story, and I was shocked that I didn't once I got to read about them.
And it's surprising, isn't it? Because there were a lot of headlines at the time in the late 40s, mm-hmm. and it involved the actions of the South African government, which was just instituting apartheid, and also two major British prime ministers, Clement Attlee and Winston Churchill.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in many ways, David and I were both embarrassed that we hadn't come across the story before, we hadn't heard of it. But I think this was also a very uncomfortable time in British history. It was a very sort of embarrassing time in British history. And I remember when we were doing the early test screenings of the film in the UK, one of the strongest reactions that came back in terms of the audience was that, you know, they loved the movie, they loved the drive of the love story, but they felt a little embarrassed by it. And strangely enough, that went over my head. I thought, embarrassed? What do they mean? And then I realized that it was part of their history. It was something that they didn't know about, but also the actions that unfolded.
And Attlee and Churchill are both beloved characters.
They are.
Although Britain was a very different place, racism, when I studied in London in 1960, and I would look for a room, there would be signs that would say, colored need not apply.
Yes.
As a New Yorker, I was shocked, not that there wasn't racism right here in New York City.
Yes, and not to make excuses for Britain, but in terms of certainly Attlee, the Labour Prime Minister's case, Britain was also a different place in 47 because it was only 2 years post-war. It was poor. You know, Britain was pulling itself up by the bootstrings, the economy was struggling, and South Africa had a big impact on Britain's economy. And Attlee had been given a mandate by the people to take care of their future and to take care of their world. And so he had to balance that with the needs of this couple.
David, how soon did this project begin after you'd finished starring as Martin Luther King Jr. in Ava DuVernay's Selma?
We shot this in the
2015, towards,
yeah,
summer
2015.
Of
so it was the following year we started shooting it, and you know the intervening 7 years between now and when it first came my way. One of the biggest struggles was that I, as an actor, didn't have the level of notoriety that would enable financiers or anyone who was interested in mounting the film to back it. And Selma definitely changed things from that point of view, to the point whereby the same production company, Pathé, who made Selma, also made A United Kingdom. Mm.
Didn't you give David his first job in television a while back?
Well, I have to confirm this with David now, because I've said it often and I have to confirm it. Was it your first job in TV?
It was one of. It was actually my second.
My very
second TV job. But it was my first job out of drama school.
That's what I thought.
It was while I was still at drama school. But yes, this was my first job out of drama school.
And had you kept in touch over the years?
Yeah, we had, and you know, and I'd kept a track of what Amma was doing on that first project we did together, a TV show called Brothers and Sisters.
It was my first writing that was broadcast as well, Brothers and Sisters.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Because Amma had been an actress before that, a child actor, I guess I would describe you as.
Yes.
And then she was the writer, one of the writers on this show, and I actually didn't know she had aspirations to direct until I saw her wonderful film Belle and was completely blown away by what she achieved in that. And that's really one of the things that made me convinced that she would be great for this.
Well, David now has star power, but you also snagged Rosamund Pike for the part of Ruth.
We did. Who has her own star power, of course. And Rosamund was just coming off of the back of an Academy Award nomination for her role in Gone Girl. And, you know, and we're three Brits, all who had sort of carved out some pathway for ourselves in Africa. We move within the same circles. It was sort of a no-brainer to show this script to Rosamund, particularly since she and David had worked together previously.
In what?
Yes, we'd done a film called Jack Reacher together and had a very different kind of relationship in that one. In fact, I think I'd tase her in a lift at one point. in that film.
As you do.
But, you know, I'd always admired her as an actress and felt that, you know, for this role, ideally for me, playing Soretse Khama and playing someone who falls in love with this woman quite quickly, you needed someone that had those enigmatic qualities that would make that feel plausible.
I'm speaking with David Oyelowo, who stars as King Soretse Khama of Botswana in a new film called United Kingdom, and also with the film's director, Amma Asante. It opens tomorrow at the Angelica Cinema 123 and at the AMC Lincoln Square. Relatively early on, Soretse reveals to Ruth that his true identity is that he's next in line to be the king of Botswana, and he expects her to break off with him, but she's not deterred. Do you think she expected all the troubles that would ensue?
I don't think so. I think if the two of them had had a chance to really think about it, possibly neither would have moved forward. I think the beauty in some ways, but also the issue that was problematic for this couple, was that they were compelled by this love, and it meant that they were existing in a bubble to a certain extent until that bubble was popped when they arrived
there,
in Africa.
Race isn't the only discrepancy here. He is in line to be the king of a country in Africa, and she's a London office worker.
There's a huge class issue here, and it's kind of one that David and I both love, the idea that in this story we kind of flip the script. You know, he is the one of higher class and status, if you like, and she's the one who's a South London girl, something I relate to very much because I'm a South London girl. And yes, in fact, she's marrying up. And I remember flying to Botswana one day and speaking to a young woman from Botswana who said, yes, you know, our first president, he married royalty. And I had to say, no, she married royalty.
One doesn't often see the portrayal of a white person trying to be accepted in the black world.
No.
Yes, and of course it happens all the time. I mean, that's one of the things about this story, is that it shows a side of life generally that we don't get to see. You know, we get to see an African leader who actually loves his people. We get to see a black man who is very committed to his wife and his family. As you say, we get to see a white person seeking acceptance from an African community. These are things that, of course, exist, but so often don't get aired in film. Mm-hmm.
Do you see this as a British story or an African story?
It's both. And, you know, that's why, for me personally, Amma is such a kindred spirit in terms of us doing this film. You know, we are both British, both born in the UK, but both of African descent. My parents are from Nigeria, her parents are from Ghana. And as a result, we identify with both continents, both places.
Mm-hmm. And when you were growing up, did you both go back and forth? I know you did, David.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I lived in Nigeria for 7 years, and I know that you spent time in Ghana.
I mean, I spent time in Ghana, not living there, but regularly spending time, because both my grandparents were there. And, you know, of course, the story of the immigrant is one of leaving their parents behind and, you know, sometimes only being able to see that parent a handful of times. So my mother wanted to make sure that I knew my grandmothers.
What about culture shock? Because that's also part of this story in this film.
You know, what I love, the beauty about this is that as Africans, we're often having to remind people that Africa is a continent, not a country, and that there are various countries within it. And of course, I'm a victim of it to a certain extent myself, because as I was flying over to Botswana for the first time, I thought, oh, this is going to be great. You know, I know Africa. I've spent a lot of time in Ghana, and I get there, and it's completely different in many ways. Of course, there are some similarities, but Botswana has its own identity. It has its own landscape. It has its own character.
Partly because it was not a colony, it was a protectorate. Mm-hmm. What is the big significant difference there?
Well, Botswana, as it's now called, it was called Bechuanaland back then. The reason it was a protectorate...
Bechuan, something like that?
Yes, exactly. It was partly because it was the second poorest country in the world at the time. It had no known mineral resources. The landscape is very flat. I think colonies tended to be countries very rich in minerals.
Wealthy.
Countries that, to be perfectly frank, could be exploited. But Botswana needed protection from South Africa, which was trying to be annexed by. That's why they sought the protection of Great Britain.
It was sort of the worst of two evils, to be honest with you. They were trapped in a situation where, as Susan puts it so brilliantly in the book Calabar, either to be ruled by the white British or the white African, and they chose the white British.
If the British government didn't endorse South Africa's recently instituted apartheid laws, why would they want to interfere with this marriage and with the ascension to the throne?
Huge reasons. As I say, Britain was poor, and South Africa was offering cheap gold, which was underlining, you know, the UK economy at the time. But we were sort of entering into a Cold War, and South Africa was also offering cheap uranium that Britain needed for its atomic bomb program. So there were very, very practical reasons that Britain needed to, if you like, appease South Africa.
And they were also threatening to leave the Commonwealth.
Yes.
If Britain didn't adhere to what they wanted. So, you know, in many ways, Ruth and Seretse were collateral damage.
The people who were running South Africa at this point had supported Germany during World War II.
But Dr. Mellon, who was the leader at the time, was also instituting apartheid. And there were very clear rules as it pertains to race. And so to have a Botswanan king with a white queen over the border was not going to help that agenda.
There were countless reasons and countless times that either of this couple could have given up on their relationship, but they never did. And to make the film work, one has to believe in their love. How do you go making it real for the audience, Hama?
I think it starts first and foremost with the story and the script. You know, the script has to give the actors, you know, viable, believable lines and a set of circumstances and a sequence of events and scenes that make that work. Secondly, of course, it's casting and trying to find casting that would create a dynamic. Of course, David had some sense of Rosmond, which already helped. But then it's as I say, it's about creating a setup of scenes that support that dynamic and will allow an audience to believe in it. Because, of course, in this film, if you don't believe in that dynamic, the whole film crumbles.
I'm speaking with Hama Asante, who directed a new film called A United Kingdom, which opens tomorrow at the Angelica Cinema 1, 2, and 3 and the AMC Lincoln Square, and with David Oyelowo, who stars as King Seretse of Botswana, then Bechuanaland. Yeah. We will continue our conversation after this. We're back with David Oyelowo, who stars as King Seretse Khama of Botswana in a new film called A United Kingdom that opens tomorrow at a number of theaters around town. Also with us is Hama Asante, who directed. How do you prepare for a part like this? Was there any footage of this couple?
Yes, thankfully there was. They were one of the most famous couples in the world post the Second World War. And so there's lots of newsreel footage. There's also some great recordings of him. But, you know, what tends to happen with these kind of historical figures who have a political element as part of their story is you only get to hear recordings of them doing public speaking. You know, it's giving a speech or a news interview. So, you know, you use those things and you're trying to sort of cobble together who they are behind closed doors, because any film worth watching about a historical figure, of course, explores who they are beyond the cameras and beyond the microphones. And so, you know, that was one of the challenges with this.
I'm sure you were helped a lot by the fact that he was Oxford educated, so you didn't have to play too much with accents.
Well, he had a Botswana accent spliced with the King's English, so to speak. So that actually made it a bit tricky, because even the modern day Botswana accent has the American English accent as its base because of the influence of now movies and TV. But back then, it was the radio. It was the BBC World Service. So, you know, I had to be quite fastidious with making sure I built it correctly.
You filmed it on location, at least the Botswana scenes in Botswana.
Yeah.
Were you able to find any people who'd known the couple?
Yes. Not only to be able to find people who knew the couple, but their children and their grandchildren who reside in Botswana, and that was absolutely fascinating. Their son is currently the fourth democratically elected president of Botswana, but the family is rather large, and so we were able to interact with them. We were able to show them images from our research that they had never seen before. It was wonderful.
I don't want to get into how we wind up with elected officials, because that would be a spoiler to some degree.
A little bit.
Yeah, but it's an interesting history, and it's interesting how history had to adjust itself to this situation.
Yes.
Hadn't you just finished making Belle when you started on this film?
Somewhat.
Are you specializing in historical dramas?
Somewhat. Yeah, I had just finished promoting Belle both in the US and in the UK when David called me up one evening. I think that's precisely the reason David thought of me, to be honest with you. Belle was both a sort of intimate story set against a larger political landscape, but it was a love story. It was a sweeping love story, and it was a period piece. And I suppose I'd established myself in David's brain as someone who could handle those pieces, and that's definitely what this film required.
It's also worth saying as well that, yes, you know, Amma's indisputable talents were displayed in that film, but I do think it matters who gets to tell what story.
Yes.
And her perspective was one that I desperately felt we needed for this film. The fact that she is both of British birth and African origin meant that there was a comprehensive view of what this story should be. So often these kind of films have had very much an outsider perspective, and that of course affects who gets to be the protagonists in these stories and the point of view within those stories. I love the fact that Amma is also an unashamed romantic. I knew that about her regardless of her filmmaking prowess, and that was something that we also felt we needed for this film.
Were the 1940s easier to portray than the 18th century?
No, they were more difficult, in honesty, because the 18th century is so far away from where we are today. The costumes are so very different. And the difficulty, I think, here, I'm a purist. So on screen, I want only pure elements that pertain to the period.
You don't want it to look like a museum piece.
I don't want it to look like
and
a museum piece.
The cars can't be all shiny.
Exactly, exactly. So kind of creating that balance where you... Yes, you understood that there were elements that exist today that we use today that existed back then is okay, but always making sure that it came in the context of that period. It was quite a difficult balance to get when it's so easy to just define the 18th century from now.
Now, you said that Botswana was the second poorest country in the world in 1948 when this story pretty much begins. What is it? How is it now? Because you shot there. Was it difficult making a movie?
No, I mean, it's worth saying that it's the very first feature film ever shot in Botswana. And we were very keen to shoot there because, you know, there's just something indisputable to be gained by, from an authenticity point of view, in shooting in the actual place the events took place. But modern-day Botswana is one of the success stories of Africa, partly because of the lessons Ruth and Seretse learned through their struggles. They kept ownership of the of their resources, which went on to be discovered beyond the challenges they faced. Very many African countries didn't do that, partly because the colonialist regimes who left still kept a handle on those resources.
Absolutely.
But you know, Seretse was very keen to make sure that his people benefited from their own resources.
Well, it's also just lucky that they discovered those resources just around this time, and they hadn't already been established. People weren't already saying, this is mine.
Yes. Yeah. And it was very clear that the British absolutely believed that Botswana land was barren. Hmm. And that made a huge difference, I think.
So when it was discovered that it actually had very valuable natural resources, Botswana was already on the way to becoming independent.
I absolutely am convinced that if those diamonds had been discovered in the 20s or 30s, Botswana land would have been a colony, mm-hmm. and this story would have gone very differently.
Mm. The story hinges on one scene in particular where there's an open community meeting, and Seretse must persuade his subjects to accept him as their king, but also to accept his bride. Could you tell us about the challenges of filming that scene?
I mean, first and foremost, we were using, you know, the real number of extras that you see in the scene. And these were members of the local community who had never been in a film before.
How many were we talking about?
Thousands.
A lot more than you wound up using in Selma. Oh, that was being used in Selma.
Yes.
Thousands.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because they hadn't, you know, not been in a movie before, you know that it's essential that we create in the film a dynamic between Seretse and his people. And so David had to give that performance, in a sense, to a world of people watching who did not necessarily know how to interact in a scene. So it was important for him to be able to create the end vision in his mind of what it was he was trying to portray, which, you know, he did brilliantly, but it was tough.
And you couldn't use a microphone.
No, that's where having done theatre comes into play. It was all about projecting it so that all those people could hear me.
And trying to get him to save his voice for the key moments, you know.
How aware were you of the close-ups during one pivotal scene? This tear suddenly slides down your cheek. Was that movie magic?
It was, to a certain extent. You know, I think what happened in that, well, I don't think, I know what happened in that moment for me is that every now and again you have the privilege to play a character where there is an overlap between what you believe as a human being and who the character you're playing is. And in that speech in particular, everything Seretse says, I agree with, I live my life by, has been the philosophy that I adhere to. And so I just think in that moment, it was a culmination of getting this film made, being in that place, what I was saying, and how much I believe in it.
Didn't we have a
But you're not a method actor.
Sorry?
You're not a method actor, but that's kind of
I'm methodish. I'm method light, shall we say. You know, and when you're a producer on a movie, it's hard to kind of go around being in character the whole time. But no, I mean, you know, you stay in a certain zone. I do anyway when I'm doing a character like this. And this was a very, very important film for us to get to tell this story. It means so much to us as people. And so, you know, every day it was we were there in the pursuit of truth.
Amma, you wanted to add to that.
Oh, no, I was saying, didn't we have a spontaneous sandstorm after that moment? We had had a bright, you know, quite lovely day, and it was almost as if the heavens and the universe sort of conspired in that moment to react to David's incredible performance, and we ended up having a sandstorm and having to end filming.
And someone actually said after a speech like the one I was giving that day that a similar thing had happened where it started raining, and literally I gave this speech and this sandstorm whipped up, the clouds grayed over, and you know, this guy who was very aware of the history said something similar had happened. So we were very happy to take that as a sign.
Divine intervention.
Indeed.
My guests are David Oyelowo, who stars as King Seretse Khama of Botswana in a new film, A United Kingdom, directed by Ama Asante, who's also here. It opens tomorrow in theaters around town. Do you think that either of these, this couple, were bitter about what they were forced to endure?
I think that's the incredible thing. From my point of view, I couldn't find any evidence that showed that they were bitter. On the contrary, they seemed to focus very, very heavily on their present and their future once they were allowed back to Botswana land, and dedicated their lives to, of course, their love, but also to other people, the community around them and the society that they wanted to build. And I think that's also what makes them inspirational and heroic.
I found in my research that there's very clear evidence that Ruth really helped Seretse not become bitter.
Wow.
Her love for him and how dedicated to him and his country she was really, really helped him to stay away from that very natural and human tendency.
Mm. Did it help that your wife is also in the film, Jessica Oyelowo?
Well, it was very ironic that she plays a racist in the film, considering we've been married for 18 years in our own interracial marriage. But, you know, for obvious reasons, it's a story that means a lot to us. So it was a huge privilege to get to share the experience of making the film with her.
Were there problems when you married her? Has England gotten past that?
Certainly nothing like what they went through. But there's actually a scene in the film that Amma and I discussed, and I think is, you know, partly inspired by and certainly was in my head when we were doing it. You know, my wife and I, early on in our marriage, were on a train, and these three guys took umbrage with the fact that a black man was with a white woman and tried to beat me up on the train station, and my wife intervened and said, "Don't you dare touch him." And I couldn't believe who this woman was. We got married when she was 20, and there she was standing up to these three burly guys. And you know, we see a scene not dissimilar to that in our film, so that was definitely a moment of overlap. But we didn't have nations and continents coming up against our marriage.
Were you bullied when you were a kid?
I was, actually. I was in school. I was a very good student, and there were those who felt that wasn't the way to be. But my dad was very good at instilling self-awareness and a sense of self in me, and so you know, I was able to overcome that.
And growing up in London, Amma, did you feel mostly British?
I did, to a certain extent, but it was challenged on a regular and I would say almost daily basis. Growing up in Britain in the 70s, it was, I want to say it was quite different to where it is now, although I'm still trying to work out where we're going now. Mm. We lived in as one of only two black families on the street, and it's interesting that we deal with both class and race in A United Kingdom, and I often try to in my films, but it was very clear that race wasn't the only issue that we had. My father was one of the only people on the street that also owned his home, and that made a difference.
Although race has played a role in the decision to vote for Brexit.
I think so. You know, many people deny that. Many people say it has nothing to do with race at all. I would argue that it does. And we have seen changes that involve the way people approach race since Brexit in the UK.
David, of the past 10 films that you've been in, 5 have been directed by women. Is this just a coincidence?
It's not a coincidence. It's absolutely premeditated, and
Is it different working with a woman director?
It is different. It is different. And in the same way that if you asked, is watching a woman protagonist in a film different to a male protagonist? Or, you know, men and women are different, but both points of view are valid, especially when it comes to a medium as influential as film. And so, you know, to have a woman direct this film is something I'm very, very proud of, because I think Amma's perspective on this film is one that, you know, the world is malnourished for not seeing more of.
You've said that working with female directors has made you a better actor.
It has, because I think, you know, certainly it's my experience that women are quicker to go to what's going on from a human emotion point of view. And at the end of the day, with storytelling, what are we doing if we're not exploring human emotion and the depths of it? Also, I find in the films I do, a lot of the time, the female characters are paid short shrift. They are less dimensional. And when it's a woman directing, of course, they're not going to allow that to happen on their watch. And if as a male protagonist or as a male character, I'm getting to interact with more dimensional characters generally, but women specifically, of course, it's going to make for a better film.
Although it doesn't hurt that Rosamund Pike is playing Ruth.
And you have a brilliant actress in the form of Rosamund Pike, but I can tell you for a fact that, you know, it's Amma's fastidiousness in making sure that her portrayal was not only three-dimensional in the realizing of it, but on the page, that gave her the tools to be as good as she is in the film.
Amma, you've just finished shooting your next project, Where Hands Touch. What's
yes,
that about?
I have. Where Hands Touch is another passion project. It's taken me over 12 years to get off the ground, and it's set in 1944 Berlin, and tells the story of the biracial children known as the Rhineland, or Hitler's problem, the Rhineland children, who existed under the Third Reich. Oftentimes we don't think of people of colour as existing in Germany during the period of the Holocaust, but they very much did.
You started as a child actor. How did you wind up being a screenwriter and a director?
Well, I'm very happy to say that as a child actor, I had absolutely no talent whatsoever. and I knew how bad I was. But what I did have, what I was very good at, was being able to pinpoint a great performance and a great actor. I was in a very powerful high school drama that showed me what the power of a story was. And so when I was old enough to make decisions for myself, I knew I didn't want to leave the industry. I knew I wanted to be part of it. But I wanted to be part of it in a way where I could harness the power of a good performance and a good story.
And Amma Asante has directed United Kingdom, which opens tomorrow at the Angelica, the Cinema 1, 2, and 3, and the AMC Lincoln Square. It stars David Oyelowo as King Soretse Khama of Botswana, at that time, Botswana Land. And my great thanks to you both for being on our show.
Such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much.